Mariah is no stranger to us here at Landmark, and Darren is no stranger to us at all. And Mariah was came up through our kids and youth and all types of ministry here, served and gave and relationships, all that kind of stuff. And the Lord just raised up a beautiful, beautiful young lady with a heart of gold when it comes to ministry, when it comes for just people and compassion. And then God set her up with this dude, with this guy. And a guy that we go, I didn't tell this story first service, but, and it's not bad, it's just, I remember way back, we've known the Curl family for years and years and years, and one of my favorite memories is of my boys, Ryan and Tyler, going to convention with us in Southern California, and the boys begging and begging to go swim with the African white boys that was there because they grew up in Zimbabwe, and that was one of their favorite things that they look forward to, is seeing Darren and his family and all that. Well, God put together a beautiful, beautiful thing in Darren and Mariah Curl. We prayed that, as did her family, but she felt like family to all of us. And so we prayed, whatever dude sweeps her off her feet, boy, let him be a class act. Let him be a class act. And have any of you ever experienced a time where God completely exceeded your expectations? That's what happened right there. God exceeded the expectation, brought a man into her life who loves Jesus more than he loves his wife, which is the perfect way to be. But he loves his wife a real close second. I'm sure of that. What they're doing in Central America with Juvenet, and really across the globe with their relationships and their connections with people, is quite amazing. It's nice to know we have a small part to play in that. Darren, I love you. You married a gem in a woman, and I know that you know that. Mariah, you will always be so special to us. And we are blessed today to have Darren and Mariah Curl for this portion of our service. Will you help me this morning by greeting and asking to come, Darren and Mariah Curl?
Good morning, Landmark. How are we doing today? Yeah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I'm super excited. Thank you, Eddie. Can we just give a round of applause for your pastors in this place? Can we just honor them for a second? I would not be who I am without the pastors along the way, going before us, leading us, shepherding us. And so I just know that in this place, you have some of the best pastors in the world here in this church. And so we're honored to be a part of that this morning. We love you all very much. Like Eddie was saying, my name is Darren Curl. I grew up in Zimbabwe, and my family have been missionaries there for multiple years. And so I was born and raised there into missions, being a pastor's kid, just serving the people around me. Had an amazing couple of years growing up. And then when I was about 14, God called my family back to the U.S. And so we originally moved to Coos Bay, Oregon. And we were there for a while, and my mom, as a young girl, when my mom was a young girl, she took part in a camp up in Washington, and so when we moved back to the U.S., she said, hey, I want to take you guys to that camp, and so took us along, and we came to the Salmon Falls Retreat camp that this church puts on, and we had an amazing first year there, just got impacted by the Lord. The next year after that, we came back to the camp, and that was the year that I met Mariah there at the camp, and who knows that the best place to meet a wife is at a Christian church camp. Amen. And so met Mariah there and just fell in love with her and started to develop that relationship over the next year. And then God called my family from Oregon up to Vancouver, Washington to be a part of a church there. And so moved and served. And I don't know what God was doing, but I knew that Mariah was the only reason I came up here. But came up to Washington, started to develop my relationship with Mariah and in serving in the church. And then the next following year at that camp, I met Caleb Mamouni. He is my spiritual father. He trained me, discipled me over the last couple of years, and he founded and started Juvenet International. And so now we work for them and as missionaries. But met him there at that camp and began to talk with him about what he does. And he began to share about Guatemala and missions and serving in that capacity. And it sounded so good to me. Since being in Africa, leaving, coming to the U.S., and I spent a few years not really serving anybody in any capacity, really, just decided that that was the right thing to do. And so I went 2 weeks after that meeting, I went with him on this trip and fell in love with the culture and the people and just had an amazing time. And at the end of that week, decided to intern with Hoovenet. At the time, they were based out of Salt Lake City. And so I came back and I said, Mom, I'm going to Salt Lake to do an internship with Hoovenet. As any mother would, hearing that news, she ignored it and just stuffed it off to the side. And so 2 months passed, and I start packing up my clothes and getting rid of things and packing up my car. And she was like, what are you doing? I said, Mom, I am leaving. Like, this is happening. And so she had to, like, rethink her life at that point. But just blessed me in that journey. And so I left Washington. I left Mariah and family here, and I went out to Salt Lake City and spent the next year living in the house with Caleb and Alyssa and their 5 kids, and just had a blast and traveled with Caleb the whole year to different countries. Fell in love even more with the work that is happening there in those places, the people, the culture. And so a year after that, actually, God brought Mariah over from here over to Salt Lake to be a part of that journey. And so I jokingly say that my job and my wife, the two biggest parts of my life, come from the youth camp. The most important things in my life right now come from that place. And meeting Mariah there and then meeting Caleb there and now on this journey that we're on, blessed and impacted by that camp. So if you are young, make sure you go to those. And if you are older to go, make sure you serve. Just be a part of those weeks because they are phenomenal. And you never know what impact you can have. We're just two examples, but the hundreds of kids that have gone through that camp have been impacted. And who knows how it has impacted and changed their lives in incredible ways as it has ours. And so then we spent 3-4 years in Salt Lake training up with Caleb and Alyssa. They started developing us as people, training us to lead missions teams in Central and South America. Hoovenet works within 11 countries, and so they developed us up to take part in leading those teams so that Caleb could focus more on the pastoral development side of things. And so trained up and just had an amazing time. And then last summer, just before last summer, in the beginning of June, we went down to Guatemala for 2 months. We had a goal. We said, we're going to go for 2 months, and we're going to see if this is what God has for us. We're going to ask and pray and see what the Lord has for us. And at the end of that summer, just deeply touched by the people and the life, we looked at each other and we said, there's nothing else that we want to do rather than this. This is what we are called to do, to serve these people and be a part of what God is doing in this place. And so after that, we spent the next 9 months selling what we have, getting rid of vehicles, just stripping down everything into 2 suitcases, getting ready to go full time. And then in this May 9th, we moved down to Guatemala to serve as missionaries there for Hoovenet. And have just had an amazing couple months. We led multiple teams this summer. God did some really cool stuff, some really awesome testimonies. And so I will let my wife, I know that her voice is prettier than mine, so I'll let her share some testimonies and some stories of what God has done this last summer.
Well, thank you. Just to reiterate what Darren said, we are honored and so excited to be here with you this morning. I said it first service, but I'll say it again. Coming to Landmark is like, you know, when you come home like from a long day or from like a vacation and you get into your like comfy house clothes and you get in your comfy bed and you just feel at home. That's how I feel when I come back home. I feel at home. And it's a good feeling. Amen. It's a good feeling. Well, before I share our testimonies, we have some exciting news that we would like to share together. And y'all are family, right? But this next May in 2019, we will be expecting another little missionary. We are very excited, but it's not Facebook official yet. So, but we wanted to share with you all this morning, now that all the family knows, and we're very excited. But I do get to share with you some testimonies this morning. How many of you know that the word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies? That's important. We overcome whatever we're facing, whatever trials, whatever is overcome by the power of God and what God has done in our life. Amen. So I'm going to share some with you and encourage you. So we moved down in May, not really speaking Spanish at all. I can't say that. We spoke a little bit, you know, hello, goodbye, and then a little bit extra. But we did not speak Spanish. So we went down with the intention that was one of our big goals was to learn. So for a month, we took classes, and then the next month, we started receiving teams. And so there was a lot of growth within that month, but still didn't speak Spanish. And we have a translator with us, every team that we have. And that week that we had so many team members and we had so many supplies to be distributed that we had to split up into multiple groups, which meant that we needed more translators. And so we walk in the building and the pastor looks at me and he says, "You and Darren need to translate." And I just kind of looked at him and I was like, "Oh, he's serious. Oh no." And I just started like shaking and I was like, "Are you pranking me right now? Like, are you for real?" He was for real. And as I'm trying to wrap my brain around all of my Spanish vocabulary, I just start forgetting it all. And I just hear God say, "Go." And I was like, "Okay, sure. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll go." And I have my team of Americans from the States that don't speak Spanish. I have my team of Guatemalans from Guatemala that don't speak English. And they're all looking to me to lead them in this time. And I to put it just concise, I was freaking out. And I was like, "God, I don't want to let you down. Like, this is a big deal." And so when we go and minister and deliver the food to these families, usually what we do is we have our team members from the States share their testimonies, because we overcome by the word of the power, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimonies. And we share the gospel with them. So we meet their physical need and their spiritual need. God opens those doors. And so we find out that this family is not a Christian family, doesn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. But they've invited us into their home. No pressure, Mariah. So we walk in, and there's like 40 of us walking into this woman's home. And it's a family of five, and she has older children from teenage to adulthood. And we start sharing, start translating their testimony to the best of my ability. And then after I finish, I heard God say, "You need to share about my love." And so as I start sharing and start just being real about the love of God, that there's no rules that come along with it. God's love is not binding. It's freedom. God's love is unconditional. And as I start just telling them these truths, I see these walls just start to come down. And all of a sudden, I finish, and I ask each one of them individually who would like to give their life to the Lord for the very first time. And every single one of them said yes. Not even that, but we invited them to the service that evening at our church, and all five of them showed up. And she walked up to me after the service with this beautiful tapestry that she had handmade and handed it to me with just tears filling her eyes. And she said, "Thank you. Thank you for saving my family. Thank you for coming to my country and saying yes." And it hit me. And God said, "I don't need your perfection. I don't even need you a good try. I need your obedience." God uses obedience. When God says go, you go. When God says go and share your testimony, but you're like, "God, I'm not good at speaking. God, I don't know how. You go. God gives you the words. God gave me Spanish words I didn't even know. But God will do the impossible. He's faithful. Amen. Well, I have one more to share with you. Another week that summer, we were building a house for a widow and her children. And that was one of my favorite things to do. Like, in your life, you can never picture yourself being able to gift someone a house. But we have the privilege of doing it almost every week with our teams. And it never gets old, ever. And so as we start to just build this house for this family and build a relationship with them, I see two kids of hers that come home from school. And she told us that one of her boys, his name is Angel, which means angel in Spanish, has a rare skin condition. It has sores all over his body from his head to his toes and is in pain 24/7. He never leaves the house without a long sleeve shirt and pants and a hat, and hates leaving the house. He hates going to school. He's bullied and ridiculed every day and is just shy and and not himself. And so as we start to get to know him and just treat him like a normal kid that he is, he started to play with us and love on us and have fun with us. Well, at the end of our house build, we finished this house, and we had the pleasure of just blessing this house, blessing it with promise, and that it would be more than just a physical answer to their physical needs, but a spiritual answer to their needs, right? God meets the natural, lives with the supernatural. And so as we're just praying and blessing this family and blessing the house, I hear God say, you need to pray for healing over on Hill. And so there was a woman on our team that spoke fluent Spanish. And I asked her, I said, would you lead us out in a prayer over on Hill? And as she started praying and everyone started lifting their voices, it was this amazing presence of God. Like heaven just fell in that house. It was a little tin house with four walls, but heaven was there. And it was almost as if you could touch and tangibly touch the presence of God. And as Angel just lifted up his voice, we just proclaimed the promise that God, you have done this before. God, you are the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are the God of the impossible. Nothing is too big for you. You're a God of healing. And we believe that for this family. And you could see the belief in him, the faith in him rising up. Well, we hugged them and loved on them and we left. Well, Darren and I showed up a month later to visit another family that was actually on the same road, and I recognized it. And I said, Darren, I have to go say hi to the family. You stay with the team. I'm going to go. And so I start walking down the road, and they must have heard my voice, because the older kids burst out of the house and just give me the biggest hug that you've ever seen and the biggest smiles that you've ever seen. And then I look down and I see Angel in a short sleeve shirt, and his skin was completely clear. That was God. That was God. And I went in the house and I greeted his mother and I asked her, I said, I saw Angel. Did you get the money to buy his medicine? What happened? And she said, no, it was all God. And I was like, amen. Amen. It was all God. It had nothing to do with us. It had nothing to do with the medicine. It had nothing to do with anything but God. I want to encourage you today that God has moved in your life. God has moved in each and every one of your lives. And God wants you to remember the things that he's done in your life. Your testimonies are not just some pretty stories or some ugly stories. They are your life. They bring life. You overcome with your testimonies. They're not just there to encourage others, but encourage yourself. Take some time, I encourage you today, to remember what God has done in your life, because he is the same God that did that and can do it again and even more. So be encouraged this morning. Take a look at this video of some of the other awesome, amazing things that we've done in 2018 through HoovNet.
Amen, amen. God is good. If you ever have the opportunity to serve the world around you in any capacity, just do it. Don't even think about it. It will impact your life. It will open up your eyes, a new perspective on the people around you. It is life-changing. I promise you that. Amen. Let's pray, then we'll get into the Word. God, we love you so much this morning. We just pray that you'd open up our heart and our eyes and our ears to hear you and receive you in a new way today. God, renew our minds, Father. Give us a new vision this morning. Speak to us clearly, God. Bring awareness to things in our life, Father. We love you so much. We bless this time in your name. Amen. Good morning. So about a month ago, we came back from Guatemala, being down there for the last 6 months. We came back to the U.S., and I began to talk with my cousin about life, and he said, wow, you moved down to Guatemala. That's amazing. What were some of the culture shocks from going down there? And it took me a while, and I thought about it, and I thought about my life growing up in Zimbabwe the way that I did. Poverty in that circumstance is not necessarily new to me, and so going down there was the easy part. I said, coming back, however, was a little bit of a culture shock. And he goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, when I got back, what hit me was the reality that within 5 minutes of where I am at any time, I have access to almost anything that I desire. I said, for me, that's the culture shock, because we plan an hour and a half trips to go and buy groceries and get the things that we need. And it's quite a journey. But here, there's within 5 minutes, anything that I really desire, I can have access to. And so that is weird to me. And so we began to talk about that and a little bit more about the culture in Guatemala. And he asked me about some of the harder circumstances that we have found ourselves in. One of those, maybe one of the hardest things that we have ever experienced, we were building a house for a family in a little community, about 10 homes, and we're building a house for a widow and her kids. But the next door neighbor, while we were there, she came up to Mariah and she stuck her hands out like this, and she was holding no more than 1 year old, one and a half, almost two, beautiful little girl. She was malnourished, had a big belly. She was covered in dirt and snot running down her face. And she held this baby out to Mariah, and she said, please, can you take my child and do better for her than what I can provide? And when that happens to you, like, truthfully, somebody saying that, please, can you take my kid and give them something else that I cannot offer them, it does something in your heart. It just breaks you in a certain way. And there's, I mean, what do you say? You just freeze. And we ended up talking to her about why we can't do that and how in Guatemala adoption is illegal. You're not allowed to, and through the certain things. But it broke us. But in those areas, what I found very interesting in those areas is that they have nothing but are so hungry and desperate for the Word of God. Their arms are so open, their hearts are open. So we come in with a word of love and of hope and who God is to them and their lives. They receive it so well, and they just hold on to it with everything that they are. And I think that that is because Jesus, the hope, the love, is crucial to their survival. That they're waking up every morning and facing circumstances that some of us cannot even imagine. They're facing these things, and without God, without his love and his hope, there is no way to overcome. And so that is crucial to their survival and in their lives and in their hearts. And so as I was praying for today and what to speak on, God spoke to me about the human body. And he said, the human body has, there's two elements that we need to survive. One of those is water and the other one is food. Our bodies are 65% more or less of water, and we need food every single day. And so water helps us move, and it helps us distribute oxygen in our body, many different things. And we can go 3 to 4 days without water. And in the same manner, we can go 3 to 4 weeks without food. And so every day we wake up, everybody in this room, and we look for water and food every single day. Without those two things, we are not very functional. And so we seek those two things every day. And I'm going to read two scriptures real quick, just so we can get a perspective on this. And in John 6:51, it says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anybody eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And in John 4:13-15, it says, Jesus answered, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give them will never thirst, but the water I give them will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And so God is so cool. He takes our bodies, our physical, the thing that we are every single day, and he says, for your survival, you need water and bread. And then God says, he flips it over and he says, the spiritual, the inner part of who we are, he says, how does he describe himself? He says, I am the living water and the living bread. He makes it so clear and easy to understand. God's word is not complicated. It is simple, and it is all about love. And so he flips those two things, and he says, for your physical, you seek these two things every single day. But in the same manner, do you seek your spiritual health every single day? Do you seek the living water, and do you seek the living bread? God is so good in the way that he communicates. And so as I was thinking about these two things and that contrast and what that looks like, God put on my heart a story in the Bible in Judges, and that story is of Gideon. And so Gideon was, God charged him to go and fight this battle, and they were facing 140-something thousand men. This is a massive army. And so Gideon goes, and he grabs 33,000 men, and he comes up to the Lord, and he says, here's my army, let's go fight this battle. And God says, no. God says, this is not what I have for you. And so he charged Gideon to turn around and say that whoever's scared, go ahead and leave. So Gideon does this. He turns around, and whoever's scared, go ahead and leave. I might have been one of them. I don't know. But 22,000 people left. And so that Gideon was left over with 10,000 people. And so he comes up to the Lord again, and he says, here's my 10,000 people. Let's go fight this battle. And God says, no. He said, no again. And they went through a second phase of elimination. And after combing through the rest of the people, he ended up with 300 men. And so they're facing 142,000 men. This thing in front of them that looks massive, this thing that is terrifying, this battle, this war in front of them. And they have 300 men. And Gideon comes to God and says, here, let's go fight this battle. And God says, yes. And they go and they win. God did that so that Gideon cannot say, look at me, I'm such a great warrior. Look at my army. This was amazing. God did that in him so that the only answer Gideon has was, by the hand of God were we saved. By the hand of God did we have victory in this place today. And so the way that these two things connect is beautiful. In our lives and in our beings, every one of us faces circumstances that are hard, circumstances that are difficult, mountains in front of us, cancer and illness and all of these things within our family and the world around us. And we face these things and we have one of two options. We can build our army. We can go with our 33,000 men against this thing in front of us, and we'll most likely lose. Or the second option is to say, Lord, here is who I am, but take me down to what you have for me. Strip away from me the things that separate me from you, my abilities, my desires, and replace them with what you have. And so we can face those things in front of us one of those two ways. Either way, what is in front of us is massive. But on the one side, when we go with God's blessing and with anointing, we have the victory. Amen. And for me, it goes far beyond the battles that we face. For me, it goes into dreams and visions and goals and things that you have for your own life. Like, we moved down to Guatemala, and God took us on this journey, not of learning new things, but a renewal of mind and of relearning things. He put us in a new circumstance. He stripped us down to just the two suitcases that we had, and we went down there, and I had so many dreams and goals. I'm like, man, we're going to be the best missionaries ever. We're going to go and build hundreds of houses. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And I had all these goals, and that was me going in my own power and my own ability with my dreams. And a good idea might not be a God idea. Sometimes God has a different idea for our lives that looks different than what is even the logical decision. I faced decisions. I had dreams. I was just going in my own ability, my own power, and things were not working out, and I was hitting walls, and I was frustrated. And God renewed our minds to say, I am your crucial source of survival. And so you have dreams, you have abilities, you have people that play instruments, that have amazing abilities and gifts and things that God has placed in them, but we have one of those two options. We can go with our own men, or we can say, God, take away from me everything that does not belong. Renew my mind, renew my heart, my soul. I need you to be the core survival of my life. If somebody took God and Jesus out of your life, would you be able to survive? And each of our answers should be no. Our answer should be no, that every single day, our desire waking up is to live that day, not in my abilities, but in what God has given me, not with my dreams, but the dreams that God has for my life, not with my choices, but seeking God, the Holy Spirit, in every decision that we make, to where every single day, God becomes our crucial element of survival, just like the living water and the living bread. We cannot physically survive without them, nor can we spiritually survive without them. And we need to strive for them with the same passion, the same desire every single day to say, God, give me your dreams, give me your visions, give me what you have for me. I want to go with your blessing, with your anointing. I don't want to go in my own power and my ability and my dreams. And so that is, in essence, it's identity. It's who we are. It's where we get our identity, is in that place. And when we are comfortable in that and we are living that out, I mean, amazing things can happen. And so to tag on to that, I learned that in the New Testament, it says one another or each other, relative phrase, 59 times. It says that 59 times. It says go, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, love each other. And it charges out 59 one another's. And we may call ourselves missionaries because we moved down there and we're serving, but I believe every person in this place is called a missionary, because if I had to strip that phrase down to just one essential thing, it would be one another. God set an example for us. He came down and he sacrificed his life. And his example was not of self. It was of one another. It was for the other person. It was for the need around us. And I believe that one of the greatest weaknesses that we face is apathy, is to see a need and to think somebody else will meet it, or that's not for me, and just walk past that. I'm telling you, nobody has ministered to my life more than my wife. Nobody has, because I grew up seeing that kind of poverty, and if you're not careful, it can become normal. It can become something that you can just see and walk away from. And then Mariah came down with the correct, a correct vision and a correct perspective to say, that is not right. Little six-year-old kids working to feed their family, that is not right. People living in this house with just a tarp over it, no walls, and just a burning stove and dirt floors, and she says, that is not right. And she refreshed my mind and renewed my heart to see things for the way that they are, to not live with an apathy, but to see the need and meet the need. And so the beginning of this is our identity. It's God, I need you to be the crucial element of survival. I need you. I cannot live without you. You need to be the core of me as a being. And in that place, our identity is correct, and we're able to focus on the one another. We're able to focus on the people around us. We're able to see a need and meet that need, and God will give us a new perspective on what is not right and what is right. And in that place, we go with a power, with an anointing. We're going with his 300 men. And I believe that when that happens, the miraculous would be our normal. Because right now, somebody lame got up and started dancing around. I might not consider that normal. But when we have these things set in place, the miraculous, the people getting up and walking, the blind seeing, the mute speaking, we're giving glory to God, those things will be normal in this place. And so it's a simple message, and God brought us through that journey, a renewal of mind, a renewal of heart, just a refreshing realization that God is who I am, and without him, there is more than what God is for my life. And so I think a challenge that we face is the reality that all of our needs can be met relatively easy, and so God becomes an extra, an add-on. He becomes a Sunday morning event. Because all of our needs are met in these other places. And so I believe as a nation, as a people, we need to refresh, reset. We need to ask God to strip away what is distracting me and so that I can focus on him and be in that correct place. And I don't want you to feel guilty for what we have. I believe as a nation, the U.S. and first world countries have the biggest ability to impact the world around them. I moved down there, and I was like, man, I'm going to give everything away to everybody. I saw this need. I'm like, I'll give you my shoes, everything that I have. And Mariah looked at me, and she said, well, if you do that, how will you be able to help anybody else? So God has blessed each and every one of us to be a blessing to the people around us, to serve the world around us, to go and meet the need of somebody. And so what you have is God gave that to you in the first place. And so now you have this beautiful gift that God has given you, this ability to meet and see needs around you over and over and over again. And so, but our heart, our perspective cannot be distracted by those things around us. And so we need God to say, Lord, give me the correct perspective. Give me a correct vision. Give me a correct desire. Lord, give me everything that you are so that you are the essence of my being. I cannot survive without you. A new perspective to see the one another, to see the people around us, to meet the need, to impact this world. And I believe that people in Battleground, this community, would be impacted so deeply by what is raising up in this church and the leadership here in this place that is such a bright light. Then people walk out this door with their correct identity. People that are lost will see that, will recognize that and say, I need what that person has, because we have the hope, we have the love, and we need that to be the essence of our survival so that we can be that for other people around us. And that is a global impacting church. That is a church and a people that will reach this nation, that will reach this world on the likes of nothing we've ever seen before. And I believe that that is possible in this place. Amen. I believe that the miraculous will become normal here in Battleground and in this church and in this nation. God is so good and so beautiful, and so he brought us on that journey. And so I just question this morning is put yourself in Gideon's shoes and say, Lord, have I built my own army, or am I going with what you have given me, the gifts, the blessings that you have given me, the anointing? Am I facing these challenges with my army or with yours? Are my dreams my army or yours? The things in my life, are they mine or is it yours? And reset, refresh. And I believe God will take you on such a beautiful journey of renewal of mind, renewal of vision, to see the need, to see people around us. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you so much this morning, Father, so, so much, Lord. I pray that you would, every single day as we wake up, Father, that you would give us a new perspective. Every single day, God, when we wake up, that you would help us, give us the confidence, the strength, Father, to say, I want to die to self, God. Take away what's distracting me from you, from your heart, from your correct vision. Give me what is right. Give me what is new, Father. Give me the dreams that you have for my life, Lord. Cast aside your dreams, your visions, your goals, and let them be replaced by what God has for you. Even if it's not logical, even if it may be scary or confusing, when you are blessed and anointed by God, go in that power, go in that strength. So, Lord, let that be our prayer, Father. I believe that in this place, in this church, you will cast a new vision, a new desire in every person in this room, Father, that you would re-anoint, re-bless, God, that you would be an overflowing river from the depths of their heart, Lord, that you would flow out of them, that you would impact this city, that you would impact their families, their schools, their places of work, that in this place we are all missionaries, God, that we love one another, that we serve one another, that we care for the one another, the people around us in this life that are struggling, that need you to survive, God, that are facing mountains, that are facing battles in front of them, and by their own ability cannot win, but we have the key, we have the gift, we have the victory, Father. Help us to share that, help us to bless other people in our lives with that victory, God, to give them the hope, the forgiveness, the love that you offer, Father. We just pray that you would be the core essence of this place, that you would be the beginning and the end, Father. Go before us, go behind us, go on our left and on our right, Father. Surround us with your presence, God. Let your presence fall in this place. Let your anointing fill these walls, God, not to bless people in this room, but to overflow from this place and to touch the city around it, Father. We love you so much this morning. We just receive that vision from you. We receive that new anointing, that new gift that you have for us. We love you so much. Be everything to everyone in this place. In your name we all pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. What a powerful word, what God can do with the 300. I made notes, so It's okay. I may preach that in Montana in a couple of weeks. Great job. Amen. I'd like to encourage you to make an investment into this young couple here. We are represented well with Darren and Mariah in Central America. Amen? What a great job they're doing for the Lord. And maybe you don't like them, but I want to bless that little baby. Amen? How many want to bless the baby? Lots of hands went up. How many want to bless Darren and Mariah too? There they are. There they are. And the way we can do that is not only pray for them, but also to give an offering. So I want you to get an offering out. If you make out a check, make it to the church, and we'll see that they get every penny that comes in. Now, if you weren't prepared to give this morning, you can send it through the tithely system or through the mail or drop it off. However, just mark it Guatemala, and we'll be sure they get it. But I'm going to put a little basket up here the way I want to do it. I just want you to bring your offering up here, or if you have to slip out, give it to Stacy. She has first service offering for them there. But I want to just bless them because they're walking in faith and they're believing the Lord. And that's the way God provides and meets the needs. He uses us to do it. Amen? He uses us to do it. Now, there may come a time when you may end up in Guatemala on a missions trip. They may be your leaders, and you may see those things firsthand. But if you never get to Guatemala, you can say, I had a part in that because you helped support this young couple right here. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for Darren and Mariah and the little baby that's on the way. We thank you for their parents, Lord, that are here, and for their family and their relatives that are here, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that they invested in these kids, and the church has invested in them, and we thank you for them and their lives. And we know that every miracle that's done, every person that is saved in Central America through their ministry, that we can say we had a little part in that. So bless this offering so that they can continue doing the things that they need to do for you, Lord. They'd be able to have groceries and gas money and whatever it is that they need, Lord, to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that they've been with us this morning. What a delight it's been here in God's house. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them another hand clap of appreciation this morning. God bless you. And again, if you got an offering, bring it up front into the basket or give it to Stacy, and she will take it from you and add it to this morning's. And thank you again. You're dismissed. God bless you. Have a great, great day. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for coming this morning.